Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
I want to share with you this morning, we're all on a journey, right? We all were born, well, somewhere a man and a woman got together, either whatever form it may have been. They got together, and the journey started. And you were born. And from there, life has thrown you different curves and straights and hills and valleys, and you've come through. And you always wonder sometimes, even after you reach a certain place in life, you're like, where am I going? Lord, what am I doing? And you even come to a place and you go, what have I been doing? But the journey is always moving. You're always going somewhere. And as I go through the Word of God, yes, we've been talking about the Word of God, and we're going to talk about it some more. All of a sudden, you start to realize there are people in this glorious Word that have been on a journey themselves. And God brought them through different phases of their lives and seasons, bringing them to a place where He fulfilled the dream that He had for them. God had a dream for each and every one of us. Before we were born, He thought it out. He said, this is what they're supposed to be, and put all those giftings and talents and everything else that we would need to make that dream come true. He put it into us, and Scripture says that He wrote down all the days of our lives before there ever was a soap opera. And as we follow Him, as we come to Him, as we follow Him, they start to unfold. Some, for some reason, it seems that it unfolds real easy. And then there's some of us, like Pastor Zach, Pastor John, and myself, we take the little harder route. But we get there because He's faithful. Has nothing to do with us, but He's faithful. And that same God who is faithful in every one of your lives. You have that testimony. You have that story to tell. So I just want to share, looking at one of the great people I like to read about in the Bible, a little guy named Moses. And we're going to start in Exodus 2. So, if you guys listened to Pastor Zach last week, he said, bring your old-fashioned Bible. I got convicted. After coming to HPC, I started bringing my phone. So I got convicted and brought my actual Bible again. Exodus 2, the beginning of the journey, verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, hid him 3 months. Something different about this child. This child was born under a death sentence. He was to be killed. Whether we realize it or not, we are also sometimes born under that same death sentence because Satan wants to destroy and kill us before we even breathe. But God has a different plan. God placed this wonderful little boy into a family that God knew would follow Him, not what was dictated to them. Not what they should follow because that was law of land, or because that's what culture dictates, or that's what the current trend dictates, but what God would dictate in their hearts. And so Moses is born, and he's born to this amazing mom. I mean, in a day when women weren't educated, pretty much taught domestic things, and that was it. This lady was an incredible lady. She says, my son's not going to die. There's something about this child. He's a child of purpose. He's a child of destiny. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure he makes it. And then she goes out. And I don't know which university of pyramid building she went to. But this lady was amazing. I mean, she could have been a government spy because she went and surveyed the land. And then she was a marine biologist, maritime specialist. I don't know if I got that right. Because she figured out which way the tides go. She figured out, hey, the princess comes down here at this time of day. Spy, scientist. Then she's a shipbuilder. I can't even make those paper boats right. Right? Can you imagine? I have this picture in my head. Moses' mom going down to the Nile, making these little paper boats and seeing which way the current goes. Right? And then on top of it all, she was one incredible businesswoman. She got paid to take care of her own son. I mean, come on. Incredible. So now Moses was born under a death sentence, but born with a purpose, is raised in the palace. The princess comes, looks at him. Oh, he's so cute. I have this thing with my wife all the time, because I know women think all babies are cute. Men might have a little different idea. So cute. Her heart melts. She takes him to the palace. Now Moses grows up in that palace. Incredible story so far. He's been rescued from death to life. And not only from death, but to a good life. He's grown up in the palace with all the best things of. He is a son of the princess. Best accommodations, best of education, best of food, best of everything. He wants for nothing. And that's how he grows up. He now grows up as an Egyptian. But something is probably stirring in him, because who was the one that raised him as a baby? It was his mama. And mamas have a way of feeding into the child. My mother taught me verses and things when I was a baby that would pop up in my head at all the wrong times. Preacher's kids would know what I'm talking about. Right? Just about to do something really, really stupid, and all of a sudden, what would you do if Jesus came right now? Like, Ma, really? Moses, you were saved for a reason. You might be growing up in this palace, but you are not of this palace. You might be growing up in all this luxury, but they're your people that are suffering on the other side. Something's being instilled in him. And now he gets to the place, the Bible says this, verse 11. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, he went out to the brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. I love the way scripture is sometimes. And when he was grown, he was 40 years old. No? It's kind of like you'll always be a baby to your mom. If you're a daughter, you'll always be a baby to your father. Right? He's grown. He's 40 years old, and he goes out, and he sees an Egyptian beating one of the Hebrew men. And all of a sudden, all that was instilled in him comes rising up. Wait a minute. That's one of my brothers. I have to do something. I got to do something. I can't just sit here on the sidelines and keep quiet anymore. Everything that has been building up for these 40 years, things that I have been taught, things that I have learned, things that I have seen, now is starting to rise up, and I have to do something. And all of a sudden, he gets up and he slays the Egyptian. So far, so good. But then he's out there on another day, and he sees two Hebrew fighting, and he goes, hey, why are you doing that? And the response wasn't what he expected. Who made you prince over us? Who made you prince over us? I want you to understand something. People will accept what you do for them when it's for their benefit. But if you call them out on the carpet, they're going to look at you and go, who made you king? One of my closest friends, growing up, he was a musician. And every time we tried to say something to him, he'd pull out the guitar and go, before you accuse me, take a look at yourself. Now you know why I don't sing. Right? And they're like, okay. But 5 minutes ago, you liked when I was saying you were the greatest thing. But now, no. Moses had to learn something here. The first lesson he learned was the trappings of authority. The trappings and titles of power does not give you true authority. See, he was moving in an authority. He was moving in his own authority that he had. Physically, he also had the authority of the palace behind him. He's now moving in that, and he thinks, guess what? All of a sudden now, the doors are going to part, and my Hebrew people are all going to bow and go, welcome, King, you're the one we've been waiting for. You're the one we've been waiting to come rescue us. And all of a sudden, no, didn't happen that way. Moses had to learn some new things. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh finds out, and Moses starts to flee. And he flees to Midian. Now, I have my own thoughts about Moses fleeing. The Bible says Pharaoh sought to kill him. I personally think that might have been a publicity stunt because people in power tend to protect their own. That's my jaded viewpoint. But I think the reason why he ran, because everything that he had thought of himself up to that point had now been torn apart. Okay, I'm a Hebrew child. I grew up in a palace because God saved me for a reason. So that means now when I get the opportunity, I'm going to act on that. But then the very people I thought I'm supposed to help rescue went and said, no, we don't accept you. Why? Because he wouldn't be accepted till he came in on the right authority. He had to come in on the right authority. He had to understand that everything he was supposed to be wasn't because of the palace. It wasn't because of the power. And everything that was put into him, it had to come from a different source. So he flees to Midian. The Midianites were descendants of the children of Abraham and Keturah. And just in case you're wondering, Keturah was the African wife of Abraham. And so out there, and here comes Moses. He's been running for his life because his life just got turned upside down. Everything he thought about himself, everything that he thought was great and what he was going to do just got flipped upside down. And all of a sudden now, he's in the wilderness. And let's look what happens. Let's keep going on this journey here. He comes and he's under this tree by a well. Chapter 2, verse 19. And people came up to him, look at this, and they said, well, there was a report here by the daughters and giving to their father, and all of a sudden they said, hey, there was this guy, an Egyptian guy. What identity was Moses running from? He didn't know who he was. But yet the people that saw him recognized and said, he's an Egyptian. I used to tell my kids, guys, just don't go along with the crowd because they're going to get away with it and you're going to get caught. But that's not fair. Yeah, you're my kid, sorry. They're going to go, that preacher's kid, that Indian kid, they're the ones who did it, and they get in trouble. You can't hide who you are or where you've been. It will follow you. Last night, we went to an Indian restaurant. I had to Febreze my jacket when I got home. I'm Indian, I can say that. Where you've been will follow you wherever you go. Amen? He's there. He meets his beautiful wife-to-be, Zipporah. He meets her father, and all of a sudden, life is changing. I'm here. I'm going to make the best of it. You know, I can't go back, so I'm going to make the best of it. Some of you have settled in Midian, making the best of something when God is actually preparing you to go back to the promised land. We're so used to getting to the place we fought, we've tried, we've done everything we know humanly, again, I repeat that word, humanly possible. And we get to that place, and we're like, why? It didn't work out, so I'm just going to settle for this. Something had to change for Moses. We're going to keep going. Now we get to chapter 3. The prince has become a shepherd. The prince has become a shepherd. Before you can rule over someone, you have to learn to care for them. Before you rule over someone, you have to care for them. We live in a society nowadays and a culture nowadays that things have changed. Everybody wants to, the guy comes out of Bible school and he's an apostle. Right? We come out of school and we expect not to work your way up, but you just want to go right and slot in at the top. That's the culture today. I had a conversation with a wise young man. You might know him. He preaches here a lot on Sundays. And I said, "You millennials boggle my mind." I said, "I don't understand you." And he looked at me and he says, "Well, part of the problem is the older generation." I said, "Great, here we go." He said, "You taught us all that we are all leaders, so we never learned to follow." That should go on a hat. Moses was there. He thought the trappings of authority and everything he else had, it was going to slot him right in. But God had to do something else first. He had to question who he was, what he was made out of, who was actually on the inside of him. Not who he projected to the world, not what he projected based on his clothing. I had a nice sister ask me a few weeks ago. She goes, "I hear you're preaching." I said, "Yes." She goes, "Are you going to be wearing a jacket to cover your stomach?" I said, "Yes." We try to do that. I was actually going to try to dress a little younger, and then I heard my daughter's voice in my head, "Dad, dress your age." So here I am. But we try to do that. We try to cover up who we are on the inside by what we project on the outside. So God has to bring you to Midian to clean the stuff out, to strip away everything that needs to be stripped away so now he can rebuild with the proper DNA. How does it start? It starts with an encounter. Exodus 3, verse 2. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." Here's Moses. He's resigned himself. This is just the way it is. I got myself a nice looking woman. I got food. I got a job. I'm a shepherd now. I guess this is just the way it's going to be. But all of a sudden, I love the scripture says Moses was basically moving along and he turned aside. I love that. Turned aside to see what was happening. I want to challenge someone this morning. Take a second to turn aside and see what you just walked past. Because you might have missed a God moment to do something great. Moses turns aside and there's this bush. It's on fire, but it's not burning up. That would just mess me up. I'd be like, "No, I did not take anything. It wasn't something I ate. What am I seeing?" But out of that, a voice came and spoke to Moses. A voice that he would have to learn to listen to. A voice that would introduce himself in such an incredible, dramatic way. It would leave a permanent imprint on Moses. I want us to understand something. Some of us come We come to Jesus and it's fantastic. It's wonderful. Somebody told us about a salvation so great. We've been washed in the blood and we're here and we're like wondering, okay, this is great. Now everything is just supposed to be wonderful from here on out. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose on you and you're going, wait a minute. This wasn't the Christianity that was promised to me. This wasn't the wonderful relationship that I'm supposed to have with Jesus. This isn't why everybody's bouncing up and down in the front of the service here. That's not what's happening. I am going through hell. All I know is that Jesus saved me, but now I'm just trying to get through this life. To use a Zach phrase, if you're writing something down, write this down. Salvation comes by the blood, but the anointing is only by the Holy Spirit. It's only by the Holy Spirit. Till you have that encounter at that burning bush, you will never move out of first gear. First gear is good. You're moving. You're not going backwards. You're making progress. But if you want to get into top gear and try to get fast like those guys at the Speedway yesterday, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where the anointing comes. That changes man to being a vessel that can be used by God. Not just biding your time till you make it to heaven. Our kids, we used to say, when we all get to heaven. No, I want heaven here because he's with me here. Because I'm walking in victory here. Not waiting for someday, but he promised me here. I love it where in the scripture it says, you have all these things, and it says, in this life. In this life. But it starts with the encounter. Moses had to have that encounter with God. It changed everything. You know what it did? It changed the arrogant young man who thought he was going to do something great. It changed him from that to a reluctant leader who knew where his strength came from. Moses, the first thing you have to understand about me is take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. I'm holy. I'm holy. My friends, listen to me, please. I don't mean to sound like an old man with the white gray hair I have in my beard, but I am going to for a second. Yes, Jesus is my friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's everything to me. But most importantly to me, he is my holy Lord. And I tremble in his presence. Not because he's going to strike me dead, but because the awesomeness of his holiness. Moses had to learn that. In that holiness, the map starts to be revealed. Moses goes back, brings the people, the Hebrew children, out of Egypt. Now they're roaming around in the wilderness and everything's going great. Look at this, it's fun. We're finally out of there. And, you know, we didn't come out with just the clothes on our back. We came out with all their gold and our gold. Hello? Hello? I know we don't like to talk about money in this church, but I'll do it for them. Right? Everything's going great. And God says, Moses, we got to go the next step. Exodus 20. Moses, I'm going to give you something because the people need to know how to live. And the Ten Commandments are given. Notice this. Moses born with a purpose, raised in the palace, stripped of who he is, restored at the encounter at the burning bush. Now he's given a framework to live by. We don't like the word rules. We don't even like the word commandments. God forbid we say that. We don't like to say something's right or wrong. So now we've invented the new phrase. Find your truth, Kurt. Find your truth. Whatever makes you happy. But then, if I don't like what Kurt does, I throw him in jail. It's okay, say ouch. If you haven't figured it out, I am an equal opportunity offender, and yes, I have a t-shirt to prove it. I even gave Zach one. If I haven't got to you yet, I will before we're done. But we do that. We're like, find your own truth. There's no right or wrong. But if I don't like your truth at that moment, I'm throwing you in jail. And the kid looks at the parents and says, but you never taught me. Our Heavenly Father taught, he said, listen, these are some basics I need you to live by. Moses, I'm giving you this for a reason. The Bible says, the Lord says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We need the word. That beautiful, trustworthy word of God. You may not like sometimes what it says, but you need it. It may not make you always feel bubbly and wonderful. You know those henpecked verses that you like to keep all over your house? Huh? We like those parts. We don't like the part that says, be holy for I am holy, because that requires too much. Don't like the part where it says, love your neighbor as yourself, because that hurts too much. It calls you out to be better than you think you can possibly be. Moses, you need to live by this. You need to know the word. My friends, please. Not to jump on the bandwagon what was already said, but our churches are perishing because we don't have knowledge. We're being taught by worship songs. We're being taught by people who speak off the top of their head rather than from the fruit of the Spirit. And we're following things blindly, and we're going the wrong way because we've not measured it against the true, infallible, trustworthy Word of God. Jesus didn't answer Satan by saying, yeah, no, he said, it is written. Even through movies now, they're trying to erase, it is written. You think, oh, this is a great movie. What has been the message all the way through? It's not written. I'm sorry. It is written. That's how I overcome. That's how I fight. That's how I get fortified by that word of God. We need to know it. We need to breathe it. We need to live it. My mother used to make me memorize verses. And back in my day, we had to memorize King James, so it means that we didn't understand half of what it said. As you can see, I've only progressed to New King James now. But you know what? When I was being a prodigal son and stuck in another country with nowhere to go, it was the word of God my mother taught me that drove me to my knees and brought me to a place of surrender. It It lives. It changes you. He's given values, guidelines, truth to follow. Now we come to the next phase of his life. Everything's going well, but now the people are complaining. You know? How many different ways can you cook manna? We don't have any water. The water we have was nice, but you know, it's no Pellegrino. And God says, hey, I got a plan. Moses, I want you to come to this rock at Kadesh. We've now moved out of Exodus and into Numbers. Numbers 20, verse 10, 11, and 12. I want you to come to this rock, and I want you to speak to it. See, before, when water came from a rock, Moses hit it. He was told to hit it, and water came forth. But this time, it was different. It was different. Moses, I want you to speak to the rock. It's easy to get tied up in how we've always done things. We need to be able to pivot when God says pivot. We need to be able to shift gears when he says shift gears. Change the way we do something, not just because that's the way it was always done. There's an old preacher's story. A mom and a young daughter were preparing a chicken. And the mother said, you cut one third of the chicken off and wrap it up and put it away in the fridge, and then you cook the rest of the chicken. And the young girl said, why? And she said, I don't know. That's what my mother taught me. So grandma was in the house, so they went to grandma. Grandma, why do we cut one third of the chicken off? I don't know. That's what my mom taught me. So that afternoon, they went to the nursing home to visit great-grandma. And so the young girl, this chicken is really bothering her. It's kind of like KFC. How did they get three breasts? I don't know. So she goes, great-grandma, why do we cut one third of the chicken off when we cook it? And the great-grandmother laughed and said, when I was small, we only had one small pan, and the chicken wouldn't fit in the pan. So we cut one third off. Some of you are still trying to cook with the same small pan when God has a large, large pot for you. You are missing out on what he has because you haven't pivoted to a new way of doing things. Yes, Moses, that was good back then, but now this is good too. Listen to me, when we look at church history, this is what we see. Every church, hello? Did I say every? Every church was birthed of God. They followed a great move of God. But when they got to a place where they said, we got it all, God said, I got something more for you. No, we got it all. I got something more. No, I got something. We got something. No. Okay, I'll move on. And he did. Moses is now told. But then the people are still complaining. And you got to give it to them. You know, it's got to get to you after a while. When you hear people just moaning and groaning all the time, it's like, oh, come on. Right? Come on. Parents, you do everything you can for your kids, and when they're still whining, you can fill in the blank with other words if you choose to. Right? you're not happy. You're mad, angry even. But then all of a sudden, Moses is so angry, he gets up there and he says, "Must we bring you water from this rock?" And he smacks the living daylight out of that rock and water comes out. Yay. Yay. Miracle. Water from the rock. Yes, it's great. Oh, we can't. Oh, this is fantastic. And God steps and says, "Hold on a second. Moses, because you didn't do what I told you to do, you're not going into the promised land." Ouch. Hey, remember me? Your servant who brought the people out of Egypt, who wandered around, who dealt with all the junk they give me, all their moaning and groaning and everything else. And I've done this. And, you know, even my own sister turned against me and I had to pray for her forgiveness. Isn't that wild? Somebody hurts you and God says, "You pray for them." All of a sudden, God, everything I've worked for, you're saying I can't see, I can't realize. Oh yeah, come here, come up to the top of this mountain. See over there? That's where you would have gone. That hurts. I was starting to think, I said, "Lord, what is this deal about this? What is the deal? Why so hard on him?" God has a way. Some things we just don't think are important to God are really, really important to him. Right? Moses decided, you know, circumcision is kind of painful. I'll spare my sons. You know, because I'm God's chosen. I can kind of choose and pick. What happens? The Bible says God wanted to kill Moses. Hey, I'm your favorite. I'm still going to kill you. Why? Because you are my favorite. And his wife had to step in. All right? His wife had to step in. Men, sometimes you got to listen to your wives. It might do you some good. Thank you. All of a sudden, I said, "Lord, what is going on?" And the Lord brought me back to where Moses says, "Must we bring?" Who was he equating himself with? What were the values? "Thou shalt not have any other God beside me." Sometimes we get so full of ourselves, we think we're making it happen. And God has to remind us, it's him. No one else, nothing else, only him. The other part here, Moses was a leader. Leader may be worthy of double the honor, but he's also worthy of double the accountability. And God had to make an example out of him. Like I said, some of the things that we think are good for us, not necessarily God saying, "Wait a minute, I need you to look at it this way." I'm going to finish up. Give me 3 extra minutes, okay? Yes? All right. Restaurants don't open for another half an hour. Moses gets to see. He dies. And we're thinking, a great life. Great man, great prophet, did everything. And yet God stops him just at the finish line. In your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 9. You go, Kurt, this is for you. Luke, don't mess me up on the podcast. Mark 9. Jesus takes his disciples and says, "Come on, guys, we're going on a field trip." And they go to this beautiful mount. And all of a sudden, Jesus is there. And he's transfigured. Can we put up verse 4 on the screen? And who appears with Jesus as he's transfigured? And Elijah appeared to them with Moses. And they were talking with Jesus. Where's the Mount of Transfiguration? In the Promised Land. Where was Moses standing? In the Promised Land. God didn't forget. He made him an example, yes. He taught him a lesson, yes. But who was standing there? Jesus, who's the embodiment of grace. Full of mercy and grace, he's standing there. And can you imagine in heaven? It's God the Father, and he's like, hey, my son's about to be transfigured on the mountain. Elijah, get down there. They're expecting you. Oh, by the way, Moses, they're not expecting you. You get down there too. Because I didn't forget. Your destiny will be fulfilled. I want to tell somebody here, I don't care what the world has told you. I don't care what you think you've told yourself. You have not been disqualified. The redeeming grace of Jesus is all over your life. And he's about to bring your feet that are going to step in that promised land that you thought you were barred from. It's about to happen. And it's about to happen right now. Because if God did it for Moses, he's going to do it for you. He's going to do it for me. He's going to do it for anyone else who calls upon the name of Jesus. So can we just stand for a moment, please? And I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a second. Not to treat you like children. I just don't want you to be distracted. I don't know where you are on this journey. Maybe in the beginning. Maybe you're in that place where you hit the wall so hard, it has caused confusion over everything you ever thought you were or everything you thought you would be. And God is speaking to you today by the power of the Spirit. He's saying, just turn aside for a second. I'm right here in the burning bush. You need an encounter with that Holy Spirit. You need an encounter that will transform you, change you, will set you on fire. So you will stand bright and burn bright for the world to see.
Yes, Jesus.
Maybe you're in a place where God's given you and teaching you and calling you to stop spending so much time in social media, and maybe even challenge yourself to equal the time in the Word that you spend on your phone.
Come on.
For every minute you look at Instagram, spend a minute in the Word. For every hour you watch that TV show, spend an hour in the Word. God wants to teach you something that will be the solid rock foundation of your life. Maybe you're in a place where you've been following him faithfully and you're tired. And out of all that, you think you made a fatal mistake. God has a way of rescuing you and delivering you. Whether it's through a wife who steps in and circumcises your boys for you. Or through that wonderful redeeming grace that even when you thought it was all said and done says, no, I'm going to place you standing in that promised land that you waited for. Any of those things, can you come up to the altar right now? This is the place. If you turn aside, he's ready to meet you. He's ready to meet you. This is the place. Maybe you've been used in the church and you're starting to feel a little full of yourself, and God needs to empty you out and fill you with himself. It's not about position, power, or title. It's about the authority that only comes from the Holy Spirit. It's about a God-given authority that no man can ever take away. It gets burned away at the altar and refilled at the altar. There you are. Ashley, I got a word for you. Zach, listen to me carefully, please. Yes, your mama. Yes, your wife. Yes, you're the hidden hand behind everything that goes here. But he put a word in your mouth. You got to release her, Zach. There's a word in your mouth. Not just the women. Everybody in this place needs to hear. Ashley, your time has come. God's about to put such a fire in your mouth. You're going to go, what? But it's coming. It's coming. Get ready. Get ready. Lord, I pray for these, my brothers and sisters here at the burning bush. May they encounter you. May they be filled with you. May they explode with you. May they catch on fire that can never be put out. May they fulfill their destiny. And Lord, I pray for those that feel they have been disqualified. Let them come to the requalifying grace of Jesus. That requalifying grace of Jesus. So, come on. Lord, I pray, touch them, bless them. Prayer team, everyone else, just come on up, start praying with these guys. Thank you so much. I know Zach said not to listen to man, but thank you for listening to me today. Amen. God bless you.
This is Pastor Zach, and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you, and have the best day of your life.